Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010, the 7-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be the Word, as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises. Starting at just $599, cabins are going quickly. So register soon by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online to equip.org.
For centuries, two questions have challenged the Christian faith.
In a world with thousands of religions and gods, why is Jesus the only way to salvation? How could a loving God, the God of the Bible, create a world filled with evil and suffering?
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Faith examines two of the biggest objections to Christianity: emotional barriers to faith that have challenged believers and skeptics alike. The Case for Faith DVD also includes more than an hour of specially produced bonus features that will help you face the toughest questions about God and the Christian life.
Order The Case for Faith, The Case for Christ, and The Case for a Creator DVDs in the Lee Strobel 3-disc collection by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Thanks for tuning in once again to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry dedicated to proclaiming essential Christian doctrine. We have a phone line open for you, so dial 888-ASK-HANK and join us on the show. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. And now, from the headquarters of the Christian Research Institute, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And hard as it is to believe, we are already in the spring of the second decade of the 21st century. And if you are with me in the Legacy Reading Plan, you are already reading the book of Joshua. This is a fascinating book, and it is the first of the 12 historical books, Joshua through Esther, that forge a link between the 5 books of Moses and the remainder of Israel's history. God's plan for redemption in the book of Joshua becomes a tangible reality. We see that Joshua is chosen by God to lead the children of Israel into the land of promise. The wanderings of Adam and Abram and Moses finally give way to rest on every side. The intrigue this month will be palpable. And before spring gives way to summer, we will encounter people of the promise living in servitude in the Persian Empire. Why? How could God's promises, which reached their zenith under Solomon, have ended in exile and humiliation? Well, the answer is they forgot the word of God, and they began to do what was right in their own eyes. And this, of course, is precisely why I have purposed to tackle the problem of biblical illiteracy during our Jubilee year, our 50th year of ministry. Without the Word, we too will surely lose our way. Without the Word, we have no roadmap for the journey of life. The Word of God is not only a light to our path, I believe that meditating on the Word of God is the missing link between the intake of Scripture and an effective prayer life. As I have sought the Lord's face in prayer, I have become absolutely convinced that you and I need to see the connection between prayer and reading the Bible. Our devotion to the Word of God has to drive us into the presence of God through the practice of earnest meditative prayer. If you're like me, you probably pray backwards. You hurry into God's presence with a laundry list of prayer requests, and before your knees ever touch the ground, you're already thinking about getting back into your frenzied lifestyle. Often we treat God no better than we treat our families. We want relationship, but without the discipline of investing quality time. So the first step towards intimacy with God is to make prayer a priority. And to that end, this month, I want to put an audiobook into your hands titled The Prayer of Jesus, Secrets to Intimacy with God. I wrote this book several years ago after intense study and soul searching, but I've never offered The Prayer of Jesus, Secrets to Intimacy with God in audio form. And as I listened to this audiobook myself, I was reinvigorated in my passion for prayer. And that is precisely my desire for you this month, that you would see prayer as the process through which we develop an intimate relationship with the lover of our soul. Intimacy. That is precisely what prayer is. Once we grasp the significance of a dialogue with God, prayer will no longer be a mere duty or discipline. It will become a delight. For it is the very means of bringing us into the presence of the one who saved us by his grace. That is why I'd be so delighted to send you the Prayer of Jesus audiobook. And the book itself, with a study guide, you can request your copy, and when you do, please include a generous gift to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. To be frank with you, a pressing concern is that we are in a time of the year when our income often slips, but the need to provide sound biblical answers that stumble seekers and solidify skeptics against the faith has never been greater. With so many people desperately seeking answers to life's most important questions, I expect those numbers to continue to grow this year. We're going to need all the help we can get. The gifts of faithful friends like you are our sole source of support. Without the necessary resources, we simply can't operate. Without you, we can't run the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we can't conduct primary source research, and we can't channel the internet resources that God is using to change so many lives. That's why I'm asking you to stand with me today, prayerfully and financially. And when you do, once again, I'd love to send you the audio version of the Prayer of Jesus. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. So many people calling in, will go right to our phone calls. First up is Sean, listening in San Francisco, KFAX. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Hank. Good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm doing good. Good to talk to you.
And you can hear me well?
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. I have had a question that as I've been wanting to present to you for a while. I think I heard you talk about it once, maybe 6-8 years ago. During this Easter, you know, season, they talk about Good Friday, Jesus' words on the cross, and he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Mm-hmm.
And invariably, you hear from the pulpit that, or at least a lot of pulpits I guess I hang around, that the Father turned his back on the Son at that point. And I have a hard time with that. and I was wanting to get your opinion.
Well, you should have a hard time with that, because if you read the very psalm that Jesus draws her attention to, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Psalm 22, you see within that psalm, verse 24, "For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but he has listened to his cry for help." In fact, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is called in Scripture a sweet-smelling savor unto God. So the notion that there's some kind of an ontological break in the Trinity, of course, is completely unwarranted. What you have in this cry of Jesus Christ is very typical of the Psalms. You have a contrast between emotional despair and faith in God. And of course, you can easily imagine that Christ, who voluntarily takes on the limitations of humanity, would have within his active consciousness a real feeling of being forsaken.
Amen. Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And I was so glad to get to you and be able to share that with you. The logic they use, though, is that they say God can't look on sin, and then they pull out the 1 Corinthians 5:21. You know, he became sin for us who knew no sin. So they say there has to be. And
well, sin is not an ontological reality, though. Yeah. It is a deprivation of something. And in that phrase in 1 Corinthians 5:21 is metonomical. It is a metonome. It is a word or a phrase substituted for another word or phrase. In other words, sin offering is what is in view there, not sin. It's not as though Jesus Christ could become sin. He was the sin offering. He is the unblemished lamb upon whom the sins of the world are laid. He himself is unblemished by sin. In fact, were he blemished by sin in any way whatsoever, he couldn't have been the Savior.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's what I've tried to share. And the other fact is that God looks at sin all day long when he looks, not necessarily at us because he sees us through Christ's eyes, but Satan stood before him. God's eyes roam through the earth. We're looking for the evil and the good. And the whole idea of his face to me is just an object lesson of his judgment towards us, because in Peter it says his face is against those who do evil.
Sure, and his eyes are too pure to look on evil. He cannot tolerate wrong. That's the point. He can't tolerate wrong. And that's why Christ is the sacrifice. He lived the perfect life that we could never live and offers us his perfection as an absolutely free gift. We can't earn it. We can't deserve it. We can simply reach out the hand of a beggar and receive the gift of our King. We're coming to station break. We'll be right back with more of your questions on the other side of the break. So please don't touch that dial.
Equipping you and your family to defend your faith and grow in your knowledge of who God is. That's our mission at the Christian Research Institute, and we do it through listeners like you. If you believe in what we're doing here at CRI, we're asking you to partner with us through regular prayer and a special gift. Your support is foundational to keeping us on the air and ministering in your area. To help in CRI's Because Truth Matters mission, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. You can also join online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't touch that dial. The Bible Answer Man will be right back.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore.
The Bible declares clearly that faith is a force.
In the early 21st century, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with rock star platforms like Joel Osteen and Paula White.
God said to challenge the people to give $66.12 according to Psalm 66:12. When you put your faith with the word, then you have mandated results.
Hank gives hope and truth to the millions trapped in the faith movement in his landmark book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To get your copy of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the autographed and limited leather editions.
Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the latest release of the Hankrenim series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankrenim Feat and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org. Ephesians 5, 15-16, Paul admonishes believers to be very careful how you live, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Today, evidence abounds of the growing evil in our modern-day culture. False teachers and New Age cults continue to seduce millions with their empty promises and false philosophy. Subscribers to the Christian Research Journal know they will regularly receive timely information on the latest religious trends, as well as practical tips on dealing with the challenges to the Christian faith in a fallen world. To defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org or call us at 888-7000-274. We now return to the program with Hank Hanegraaff, host of the Bible Answer
Man. Thank you very much, Randy, and we return to your phone calls. Next up is Amber, listening in Waco, Texas. Hi, Amber.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was wondering about the Sabbath day. Is it Saturday or Sunday?
Sabbath day is Saturday, but we worship on the first day of the week.
Okay, but why does it say in the Bible where it says the commandments, the fourth commandment is keep the Sabbath day holy? And if it's Saturday, why do we all go to church and everything on Sunday?
Well, because it is in Jesus Christ that we have our Sabbath rest. That's the whole point. We worship on Sunday in view of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is in Jesus Christ that we ultimately have our rest. And that's the whole point of the Old Testament. The Old Testament laws point forward to a fulfillment in the New Testament, and that fulfillment is in Jesus Christ. And therefore, for the emerging Christian church, the most dangerous snare would have been a failure to recognize that Jesus was the substance that fulfilled the symbol of the Sabbath.
Okay. Another thing, they say all the holidays are like pagan holidays, but the Lord rose on Easter, so how is that a pagan holiday?
Well, it was a pagan holiday. In other words, the day itself was a pagan holiday, and what Christians have done is created a rival celebration, saying that the real hope for humanity lies in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not in mythology. So Christians purposely set apart days to worship Jesus Christ in his birth and also in his resurrection.
Okay. It just got me confused, and I was kind of upset because, like, you know, they say, some of my friends and say, no, that, you know, you're supposed to go on Saturday and not Sunday, and, you know, Easter's a pagan holiday, and how could it be if the Lord rose on, you know, there? And so I just wanted to call and, you know, get things straight.
Well, I'm glad you called, Amber.
Yeah, thanks a lot for taking my call.
You're so welcome. God bless you as well. I want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Rose, listening on the web in Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Rose.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm fine. I have a question for you that I've been struggling with for years, and it has to do with women wearing pants. I go to a fundamental Baptist church in the Midwest in Indiana, and they preach out of the King James Bible only, and they believe that women should not wear pants because they pertaineth unto a man because of Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. But yet, you know, women will wear suits, a skirt and a suit jacket, and I believe that the suit jacket could be a men's apparel because men wear suits, too. So what's the difference?
Well,
especially in the winter when it's so cold out, you know, why can't we wear pants?
Well, you are a wise lady, Rose. I think you figured it out. I mean, look, Deuteronomy 22:5, while it's often cited, that scripture refers to transvestism. Not to women wearing pants. In fact, the clothes of Hebrew men and women were very similar. Both of the sexes wore tunics and cloaks, and the only difference was the embroidery and design. As far as the King James Version only, that's also a red flag in my mind. The King James Version only people think that the King James Version is an autograph, that it came down from Mount Sinai hot off the plates, and therefore they take that particular version and they test all the other versions by it. The right way to do this is to test all the versions by the manuscript evidence that's extant today. So the manuscripts give us the translations that we have, and therefore we always want to go back to the manuscripts, not consider the KJV to be an autograph. It certainly was not.
Right, and there's nothing in the New Testament that says that, and I agree with you. I believe that was talking about transvestites, and I'm so grateful that I got through to you, and you answered my question, and because you know what? I believe that God is interested in our hearts and not in what we wear, as long as we dress modestly and decent, not portraying something other than a decent woman.
You have hit the nail right on the head, Rose.
Oh, well, thank you so much, and I'll continue listening to your
thank
station.
You, Rose. Bless you.
God bless you.
Thank
now.
You for
Bye-bye.
Calling. I want to go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Grace in Missouri. Hi, Grace.
Mr. Hanegraaff.
How are you?
My question is, why or is the resurrection necessary for our salvation?
Yeah, if Christ had not risen from the dead, the Apostle Paul says, our preaching is useless, so is your faith. He goes on to say, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. So yes, resurrection is the hope of the believer, and therefore resurrection is the cornerstone of the Christian faith. If Christ hasn't risen, we have no hope.
But the way I understand it is when he died, he satisfied God's price for sin. So what role, is it just the hope that
is absolutely true that Christ on the cross atoned for our sin. And therefore, by receiving the finished work of Jesus Christ, we receive salvation. So Christ has given us a foreign righteousness, a righteousness not of our own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in him. But had Christ not risen from the dead, we would have no hope. Because what is salvation? Salvation is to be restored to right relationship with God, not just for time, but for eternity. So I'll give you an example. When someone dies today, they're absent from the body they're present with the Lord. So they have a relationship with God, but they're awaiting the hope of resurrection, because when the Lord Jesus returns at the end of time, the soul will return to the body. The body will rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, and we will then live in resurrected bodies in a resurrected universe. God is going to restore this world to what it was prior to the entrance of sin and death and destruction and decay. So that's the hope of the believer. So Christianity never gives us a peaceful way to come to terms with disease and decay and death, but it gives us something far better, a way to overcome it through the power of Christ's resurrection. This, by the way, is the very thing that animated the early disciples. They were willing and able to face all kinds of vilification and even cruel deaths because they knew that they, like their Savior, would rise again and live with Him forever in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness.
So He was the example of their hope.
Well, He was the earnest of their hope, yes. He rose from the dead, and as a result of that, we know that we too, like Jesus, will rise one day. And that's why Jesus said when He walked this earth, do not be amazed at this, a time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned.
Okay, well, thank you so much for taking my question.
Grace, you are so welcome. Thank you for calling. And by the way, I've written about this in a number of different formats, including my Hankernym series. We talked about it on the air last week with Lee Strobel, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. It gives you, in a memorable fashion, how you can remember the evidence for Christ's resurrection and then the evidence for the hope of your resurrection as well. Master the essence of the resurrection in minutes. Remember it for a lifetime. This is a memorable defense in the central event of Christianity. Human history and your future is forever changed by what happened the first Easter some 2,000 years ago. Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History, available right now through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Some of you will be leaving us now. If you want to catch the rest of the broadcast, you can stream it live on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or you can just listen to us on XM 170. For everybody else, we'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And a quick reminder that if you have not yet subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, you want to do that right away. It's an award-winning magazine no Christian home should be without. Check it out. Again, you can see the current edition right there on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back. For everybody staying with us, stay tuned.
At the Christian Research Institute, our ministry is supported in so many different ways, and one of those ways involves non-cash assets. These assets include things like cars or real estate. And just as with cash donations, these gifts are tax deductible. To find out more about the types of non-cash gifts that you can donate to the work and ministry in the various outreaches of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just visit our website at www.equip.org. And once there, click on the Donate button and then select the Give a Non-Cash Donation option. Again, that's on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Hank will be right back after these messages.
I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to John listening on KFAX. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y, or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org.
Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010, the 7-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be the Word, as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises. Starting at just $599, cabins are going quickly. So register soon by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online to equip.org. Jesus' last words to his disciples were to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. You can reach Spanish-speaking people with three of Hank's best-selling books in Spanish, The Apocalypse Code, Third Day, and The Prayer of Jesus. Additionally, you can listen to The Prayer of Jesus in Spanish on audio CD. Sharing these resources is a great way to reach out to a family member, friend, or neighbor whose first language is Spanish. To order, go to equip.org or call one of our resource consultants now at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. And now, back to Hank Hanegraaff and your questions.
Thanks very much, Randy. And I want to go to Kathy now in Elk Grove, California. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
I'm good. It's great to talk to you.
You too. I greatly appreciate this. I have some very wonderful relatives that I believe are very strong Christians, but they've gotten involved in something, and I'm not too sure about it, so I wanted to ask you. I've been doing a little research and haven't had time to do enough, and so I thought, well, I'd call you. Maybe you know something about it. It's called the Torah Keepers, and they kind of use that term in Messianic Jew, and they call Jesus Yeshua, and it seems like a movement, a church, I'm not sure what it is, that's sort of disillusioned with mainstream Christianity. They practice all the feasts, like they just did the Feast of Unleavened Bread last week and the Passover, and there's many men, you know, that are, you know, you can go on their different websites, but one of them's name is Michael Rood, and he says on his website that he's helping Christians navigate the minefields of man-made religion. He's a former U.S. Marine, and he's declared war on every self-serving man-made religious system in the planet. And just some of it sounds a little militant to me. And he's proclaiming that the Feast of the Lord are the precise prophetic shadow pictures by which our Creator has revealed, and this is off of his website, revealed the Messiah and his plan for the created universe. Do you know about any of this?
And he teaches that all believers should keep the Torah, the Sabbath, and kosher foods, and he comes out with highly questionable claims concerning the whereabouts of the Ark of the Covenant and Noah's Ark, sensationalistic with respect to eschatology, the study of end times. You know, it's the quintessential example of pin the tail on the Antichrist. Yeah, it's newspaper eschatology, sensationalism, and very questionable ideas about how to read the Bible for all it's worth.
Okay. So would
we
you
don't recommend them.
Say it's
what?
Would you say it's a cult?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a cult, but I do think that it has very questionable characteristics. A cult is a highly inflammatory word, and if you use that word, you got to be sure that you define what you're talking about, because there are cults from a sociological perspective and cults from a theological perspective. Sometimes there's a crossover between the two as well. But no, I wouldn't consider this a cult, but I do think that this is something that is highly questionable in that Christians shouldn't be given to sensationalism and newspaper eschatology, and you need to be very, very careful with respect to civil and ceremonial laws in the Old Testament, because ultimately they have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So that doesn't mean we shouldn't read about them, but we should also put the emphasis in the right place, and that is that Jesus Christ is the substance that fulfills the symbol. And therefore, to go back to types and shadows when the substance has come is, as Hebrews talks about, tantamount to trampling upon the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
All right. Well, how would you say I should talk to them about this? Just
you know, one thing that would really help is if you digested a book that I wrote called The Apocalypse Code.
The Apocalypse Code, okay.
And it's available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute.
Okay. I'll check that. Thank you. I really appreciate your help.
Thank you so much for calling, Kathy. Bye.
Okay,
I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Emmett, listening in Washington. Hi, Emmett. Hello, Emmett. I guess Emmett isn't there. Let's go to Joshua. Joshua's listening in Flat Rock, Michigan. Hi, Joshua.
Hello, Hank. My question is about salvation. You know, there's a lot of religious tracts, and I'm sorry to use that phrase, but religious tracts circulating around that are explaining, you know, their plan of salvation. You know, they'll say things like, you need to confess with your mouth. You need to be born again. You need to repent and believe the gospel. Just all these different things. And you also have the other scriptures that say, just believe on the Lord and thou shalt be saved. Without getting too much into it, because I want to hear more on what you think. You know, part of my testimony, I didn't have to repent of a false god or a false religion when I received the gift of salvation. So I was just kind of curious because, you know, they're saying that repent means to turn away from sins. But God, the Father, has repented more than anybody else in the entire Bible. So could you please shed a little light on that?
Yeah, I could. And what we're talking about with respect to you and repentance is that you realize that you're a sinner and that you're willing to turn from your sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. So repentance means a U-turn on the road of life, saying, once I was going in one direction, now I'm turning and I'm going in another direction. I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. He's going to be the Lord of my life. Now, that's very different than the way repentance is used with respect to God. If you look at how repentance is used with respect to God, all you have to do is go to the book of Jonah. In Jonah, you see that God repents, but what that means is that we have come into a different relationship with God. Once we were living in one direction, and now we're turning and following God and going in a different direction. So the idea here is, James says God is unchangeable. So in Jonah 3, you see God repenting or changing his mind, not in the sense of a contradiction, but a different use of the word repent. It's what's called an anthropomorphism, language that accommodates human understanding. God did not change, the Ninevites changed. And therefore, they came under God's mercy rather than his justice. And the way I typically illustrate this is I can walk into a strong east wind, and the wind is therefore in my face. But if I turn and walk west, the wind is no longer in my face, it's at my back. There's no change in the wind. My change of direction has brought me into a new relationship with the wind. And that, in essence, is what repentance means for you. When you repent, you are now in a new relationship with God, and no longer under his judgment, but rather under his mercy.
Okay. So is it you have to confess with your mouth, believe on the Lord?
Well, there is no magic formula. But what happens is if you truly realize that you're a sinner and repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you will confess him as Lord publicly. How could you do anything else?
In the sense of a change of mind or rethinking, saying, you know, maybe it's not the best idea for me to drink this drink.
No, it's a change of
watch this television show.
Yeah, it's.
But you know, if I continue to do that, am I going to be saved?
Well, the point here is that you want to follow Jesus Christ and do it His way. That's the point. Now, you're not going to do that perfectly, but you want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, and therefore you want to please Him with your life, and thus it would be inconceivable that on a regular basis you kept doing things that were in defiance to His will. If you watch pornography, for example, that would be something that you know is not what God wants for the human relationships, and that pornography is detrimental and damaging to human relationships, and God wants us to have healthy relationships, and so you would shun those things that are not part of God's will because you want to do it His way, and recognize that God lays parameters around your life, not because He's a cosmic killjoy, but He wants your joy to be complete.
But haven't we gone past that point of it's no longer salvation, but now it's in obedience to the Lord, living a Christian life?
Yeah, and what happens is those who receive Jesus Christ do works not to get salvation, but in response to the salvation they already have, which is to say you are not saved by your good works, but salvation produces good works in the life of the believer. If you love Jesus Christ, you will also obey Jesus Christ, and you will try to build His kingdom as opposed to your own. But again, salvation is realizing you're a sinner, repenting of your sin, and receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. We'll be right back with more of your questions. Stay tuned.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which reaches millions of people. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers answers to over 170 questions that typically stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Get your copy of this 550-page leather hardbound book packed with answers you need to more of today's challenging questions about the Bible and Christianity when you call 888-7000-CRI. Also, for your gift of $100 or more, receive a personalized copy. Order on our secure website at www.equip.org. We'll return to the program in just a few moments.
Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York, with sound design by one of the top studios in the industry, and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. profoundly changed America with his nonviolent resistance to racial segregation and discrimination, but his philosophy and theology include some dubious beliefs and influences. In this installment of our Philosophers series, we consider how evangelical evangelicals should view this complicated African-American leader whose birthday is now marked by a national holiday. In this issue, you'll also find insightful articles on the biblical view of divorce and remarriage. How should Christians handle tithing in the current economic climate? The Internet Mission Field, and all of our regular features that you've come to enjoy.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
These are the last of the last days. Oh, somewhere between 2003 and 2005, Jesus will come back.
How much longer do you think we really might have?
I don't believe we have another 10 years.
Anywhere from now till 2018, Jesus Christ will appear to set up his thousand-year kingdom of revelation.
When will Jesus come back? The consensus is as varied as the number of so-called experts you ask. So where do you turn for definitive scriptural insight on the end times? Understanding Revelation is now within your grasp. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff deals with today's most asked prophecy questions. It distinctively presents a method by which you can read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about end times and why it matters today by Hank Hanegraaff. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or order online at equip.org. Our passion and purpose at the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers worldwide with the truth about cults, culture, and Christianity, so that when faced with distortions of the truth or false teachings, it is instantly recognizable. We're able to fulfill that mission with our many outreach efforts between two offices, one in Charlotte, North Carolina, and another in Calgary, Canada. But we need ministry partners to both pray for our work and to partner with us financially. Would you consider joining the Bible Answer Man support team? These monthly donors are the backbone of our financial support for our broadcasts, publications, and outreach activities. And when you partner with us, you'll receive special benefits such as specially selected resources to help you with your spiritual walk. To stand with these dedicated ministry partners, call CRI today at 888-7000-274. You can also join the support team or find out answers to your questions by going to our safe and secure website at equip.org. That's equip.org. We now return to today's program. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we return to our callers. Next up is Jacob, listening on Bot Radio in Fairview, Illinois. Hi, Jacob.
Hey, Hank. I just want to let you know I really like your show and I like what you do. I thought since you knew a lot about this, I would ask you. My school doesn't have very many Christians, or at least they don't act as though they do. So I thought, and my dad agreed, that we should start a Bible club. And my friend said he was a Jehovah's Witness, and my dad said that wasn't very good, and I wanted to know why.
Well, your dad's absolutely right, Jacob, because the Jehovah's Witnesses, they teach that Jesus was created by God as the Archangel Michael, and that during the earthly walk of Jesus Christ, he became a mere human being. And then after his crucifixion, he was recreated an immaterial spirit creature. So they've got a completely different view of Jesus Christ. I mean, we believe that Christ is the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. To a Jehovah's Witness, Jesus is a God, but he is not the God. And therefore, the God creates him, and he becomes a junior partner in the creation of all other things. And even beyond that, think about what we just celebrated yesterday, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To the Jehovah's Witness, the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ is simply a myth. They don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, according to their founder, the body that hung on a torture stake, not a cross, but a torture stake in their view, either dissolved into gases or is preserved somewhere as the grand memorial of God's love. In Christian theology, Christ rose from the dead, and because he rose, we know we too will rise.
Right. So what would you suggest I should do?
Well, you know, the question should always be asked, and how old are you, by the way?
I'm 13.
And this is a great question for you to remember for the rest of your life. Are you willing to do for the truth what the cults are willing to do for a lie? The cults go on school campuses and they proselytize. Are we willing to start a group so that people can study the true word of God, so they can learn to read the Bible for all it's worth? Are we willing to do for the truth what cults like Jehovah's Witnesses are willing to do for a lie? And I think the answer should be yes. Therefore, the way you overcome error is with the truth. So you can become so familiar and make people so familiar with essential Christian doctrine that when a perversion of that comes around, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, people will know it instantaneously.
All right. Well, I'll do that. Thank you so much. This will help me out very, very much. I'm going to try to get this club going so I can get some people around.
That's great, and you ought to give your dad a big hug and say, thanks for being such a great example to me.
Okay,
oh,
I will. Definitely.
Hey, good to talk to you today.
All right,
you. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Tony, XM170 in Illinois. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking
my
call. I hope I explained this clearly. I guess my question is, if I could just cite a couple of examples. When Jesus is speaking to his apostles, for example, in Matthew 28 and the Great Commission, he tells them to go out and make disciples of all nations. When his disciples ask him, how do we pray, he tells them how to pray. And I guess I'm wondering, do we take the instruction he gives his disciples or his apostles to be instruction that we are to be obedient to, or is that specifically for people that are, you know, pastors and missionaries, versus, say, in the greatest command, you know, when a teacher of the law would ask Jesus a question, and he tells them, you know, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That I would take to apply to everybody, but not necessarily specific direction to a group of people. I'm just wondering how to take
yeah,
that.
Well, it certainly applies to you. And the reason we know it applies to you is that we believe in the priesthood of all believers, not the priest, but the priesthood of all believers. Therefore, you too are a priest, and you are to become, as a priest, a reproducing disciple maker. And that's what you find in Acts chapter 28. The disciples are called to be reproducing disciple makers. They're to teach and equip those who come to faith in Christ so that they in turn can teach and equip. And the same thing is true with prayer. The prayer that Jesus Christ modeled for his disciples, or the prayer of Jesus, which by the way happens to be our offer this month, I've got an actual audio version on CD of the prayer of Jesus, teaches you how to pray according to the prayer that Jesus Christ modeled for his disciples. And that means that prayer is not merely a way to get things from God, but a way through which you can develop intimacy with the lover of your soul.
Yes.
Make sense?
Okay. Yes, it does, and I really appreciate you taking my call and clarifying that for me.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Bless you.
Thank you.
Bye. And want to go back to the phone lines now and talk to Steve, listening on Bot Radio in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, hi, Hank. I had a question about Acts 2, verse 31. And it says, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. And because we know that the wages of sin is death, and it's appointed to man once to die and then the judgment, does that scripture refer to Christ actually taking our sins and then going into Hades?
Well, remember that Hades is the abode of the dead. So if Jesus describes Hades, he describes it in Luke chapter 16 as Abraham's bosom and paradise for the redeemed, but torment for those who are not redeemed. That's where their souls are. Their bodies go to the grave. And right. Jesus said, do not be amazed at this. The time is coming when all who are in the grace will come out. Some will rise to live and some will rise to be eternally condemned. That happens when Jesus Christ returns again. So what's okay. in view here in Acts chapter 2 is the abode of the dead, the soul in the presence of God, and the body in the grave itself.
Okay. But the soul of Jesus itself, another question is in Matthew, ahead and ask, in Matthew 12:40, it says that as Jonah was in the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so I, the Messiah, shall be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. And then it says in Jonah chapter 2, verse 6, I went down to the bottoms and the very roots of the mountains, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. You have brought up my life from the pit and corruption, O Lord my God. So you have the word pit and corruption, and then you have Hades and corruption in Acts chapter 2, verse 31. Are those related at all?
The idea of corruption and the pit and Hades, in the sense that Acts is talking about it, is the grave itself. The grave is the epitome of death and decay and destruction and disease. It's the last disease every one of us will have. And that's what's in view in the twofold description that you have in Acts, because the body sees decay. The soul is in the presence of God.
So Jesus' soul never experienced eternal death in hell?
No. Absolutely not. In fact, what's beautiful is Jesus says to the Father, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit, and to the thief on the cross, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Paradise in Abraham's bosom again was a way of talking about being in relation to God.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Got it. Thank you so much for your call. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay in studio for an extra hour once we go off the air. We'll continue taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So if you are hanging on, be patient. I'll get to you in the next hour. If you're calling in, do remember the number in the U.S. or Canada. Get your question on in the next hour. 888-ASK-HANK translates to 888-275-4265. And do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners like you. If we don't have the funds, we simply go off stations. So please stand with us prayerfully and financially to make the world a difference to people who need to hear reasons to believe. So long for now.
Get ready to set sail for the adventure of a lifetime. Don't miss our Western Caribbean cruise May 9th through 16th. Sailing out of Tampa Bay, Florida, you'll join Hank Hanegraaff and award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp for 7 packed days of worship and study on board the stately Carnival Legend. Incredibly low rates include all conference fees, accommodations, and dining. Dates in May make it a perfect way to honor mothers or celebrate special graduates. So for more information or to register today, go to our website at equip.org or call our friends at Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
Outside of the holy words of Jesus and the Holy Spirit-inspired writings of the Bible, the words of men such as Augustine, Martin Luther, and Jonathan Edwards have most stirred the Christian church throughout history.
I seek an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade.
Now, these timeless works have been captured on CD by master storyteller Max MacLean in a collection called Classics of the Christian Faith. This high-quality compilation contains 5 of the greatest works by 5 of the greatest leaders of church history. It will enhance your Christian walk and give you a new appreciation for our rich heritage.
My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me.
Classics of the Christian Faith CD Collection, narrated by Max MacLean. To order, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Find it on our website at equip.org.
Don't all religions lead to God?
What is truth?
Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for Students.
took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.